culture, different eyes, a good guy of people fun. I heard some you got your family living in cages, tall and cold. Some just stay there and dust away past the age of old. Is this true? Please let me talk to you. I just wanna know about the rooms behind your mind. Do I see a vacuum there, or am I the going blind? Or is it just a remain for vibration that was long ago? Things like love the world and let your fancy flow. Is this true? Please let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. I have lived here before, the days of life. And of course this is why I'm so concerned. And I come back to find the stars in place and the smell of a world that is burned. A smell of the world that is burned. Maybe it's just a change of climate. I can dig it, baby. I just wanna see. So where do I put you, Tajiki? This is like the heaven, grace I see. I wanna know about the new Mother Earth. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports on Global Patriot Radio, found on the internet at blogtalkradio.com. We are here. It is now. It is Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. And of course, we are but one of several on Global Patriot Radio. Every Monday, the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, Mamma Mia No Sharia. Every Tuesday, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. I'm here on Wednesdays at 5:30. Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, Paul Sutliff, the deplorable Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Islam in Focus, better known now as Conservative Casual Friday with Andrew Herod. Great show. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy, Islam, or revealing the truth about Islam, I should say. Sundays, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. And as always, I will remind you that you need to preload an app and get permission to be on that show, because other people just come in and turn it into a free-for-all, and that's not what it's supposed to be. It's actually supposed to be Real Interfaith Dialogue. Hey, also other shows along Blog Talk Radio, Tim Tapp, Tap Into Truth. He's on several different nights. Just look for it. It's Tap with two P's. G-Ski with the Dave and G-Ski Rock show on Airwaves America. That I know is Friday is one of those. Joseph Gibson, he's got a great show. It's called Understanding the – gosh, I always get it wrong. It's basically Understanding the Times We Live In is how I call it. Annie with Southern Sense Radio. There's Chief on Tuesday nights, The Simple Facts of Life. All great shows, all good stuff that you can find. Hawkeye Mike just texted me, why is Paul deplorable? He supported Trump, of course. That's why he's deplorable, Paul Sutliff. That's his Twitter handle, I believe, is actually what he is how he calls himself on Twitter. If you want to call into the show, you can listen in online. I give the actual link on my Twitter and Facebook feeds before the show. You can also just come to blogtalkradio.com/global-patriot-radio. You can just type in the search Hank Jones Poly Sports. You can also call in 319-527-6706, or you can just be next door where Mrs. Hank is sitting in Hank Haven next to Electric Hankland Studios. Like I said, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. Twitter, it's at HPolySports. Facebook, just look for Hank Jones PolySports. You can email hjpsports1980@gmail.com. But again, if you want to listen and talk, it's 319-527-6706. If you actually have something to contribute, worthwhile or not, really, you hit the one on your phone. I get a little icon that says, hey, this dude wants to talk, or this gal wants to talk. Sorry. As some people are doing now, Sue from New Mexico is listening in, Brother Tommy, Big Sister, Hawkeye Mike. Let's get to our recent deaths. This one's just in. American software inventor John McAfee McAfee has died by suicide at a jail outside Barcelona. This is a real suicide. This was not an Arkanside. McAfee was 75. He had just been ruled on for extradition to the U.S. He invented an antivirus software program. He created a company that bears his name. He'd been charged by Tennessee prosecutors for evading taxes on income from promoting cryptocurrencies while he was doing consulting work. He had fought extradition on the premise that he would unjustly spend the rest of his life in jail. Well, point of fact, he did spend the rest of his life in jail, and then he took that life, ended his life today. Well, let's see what else. A champ, age 12, Dopey Joe's German Shepherd, passed away this week. He was the shortest tenure of a first dog on record. Milka Singh, also known as the Flying Sikh, he passed away last Friday at age 91, complications of COVID. Called the Flying Sikh, he was an Indian 400-meter runner. He led the first 200 meters of the Olympic 400 in 1960. He was one of the favorites to medal. He did appear to let up and then sort of looked around to assess the positions of his competitors, lost momentum in the closing portion of the race. He later said that he didn't think the pace at which he was running could be sustained over the full 400 meters. Still, he ended up running a 45.73. That stood as India's national record for almost 40 years. Fascinating story. Look him up. Milka, M-I-L-K-A, and then Singh, S-I-N-G-H. He was brought up in India. He escaped the violence against the Sikhs and the Hindus that was going on in the Punjab region at the time. He was born in 1929. So he also ran the 200 meters for India. He ran in both the 56 and 1960 Olympics. Later co-authored a book with his daughter called The Race of My Life, which detailed his life both on and off the track. It's made into a movie, I think, in 2013. He served in India's military. He also served as a minister of sport in various regions, given India's fourth highest civilian award called the Padma Shri. Ironically, his wife passed away just 5 days before him, also of COVID complications. Almost all his awards, movie rights, et cetera, book proceeds, a great portion of them were donated, at least in part, to charitable causes for underprivileged athletes. He was definitely a hero, both in India and the rest of the world. And I'll say this, some people would say, well, you know, he's a hero, sports hero, still a very underprivileged life. And what was talked about at the time, as an athlete, he didn't have access to the best nutrition in India. And yet he was very driven, trained very hard. And in spite of that, took fourth place and was one of four people that broke the Olympic record at the time. Unfortunately, he was the fourth person to do it that day. So, But a hero, definitely. Last Thursday, motorcycle daredevil Alex Harville lost his life at age 28. He was preparing for a record-setting jump, which was going to be equal to the length of a football field from goalpost to goalpost, hit the landing ramp, the dirt edge of the landing ramp. And he was actually working on a farm. It was his motorcycling was just almost like a hobby. Leaves behind a wife and two kids. Really sad. 28 years old. And then last Wednesday, we lost Frank Bonner. You all probably better know him as Herb Tarlick on WKRP in Cincinnati. He was 79. He died from complications of Lewy body dementia, which is two dementias, so to speak. One is a body issue, and the other is a Alzheimer's type issue. Prior to WKRP, he appeared in episodes of Mannix and Love American Style. He later co-starred on a show called Just the Ten of Us, as well as the reboot series, The New WKRP in Cincinnati. 79 years old. Yeah, Mrs. Hank is in the background singing the theme songs to those. So, hey, very catchy tunes, both. Baby, have you ever... No, I didn't put that. I didn't want to download that because that's not something you download for you just don't. I downloaded the Love Boat theme. We'll leave it at that. The U.S. is going to partially miss 70% by the... They're going to miss the goal of 70% of the people being partially vaccinated against COVID for July 4th. That was a goal set by La Dopey Nostra. Yeah, apparently vaccine deaths, vaccinated people getting COVID anyway, the lies from Dr. Fauci, the CDC, the WHO, the media, other in-the-tank medical folks, not to mention the collusion of big media, the DNC and the rest of Big Left. Yeah, evidently some folks have gotten second thoughts about getting the vaccine. Gee, who would have guessed? Kind of explains why so many vaccines are being sent elsewhere. They're making it sound like, oh, we have so much, we're sending it elsewhere. Yeah, because nobody here wants it anymore. Look, I admit, I've gotten it. I've got the vaccine. Friends of mine have gotten the vaccine. Others have not. But the point being this, if you want it, get it. If you don't, don't. But let's not turn it into a crime when somebody doesn't want it. Like somebody said, you know, we spent years as kids being taught to resist the peer pressure to take illegal drugs. Now our media is exerting peer pressure to get us to take experimental drugs. Ooh. Yeah. Mere weeks after getting smacked down by a judge over a wrongful termination of a teacher who spoke out against critical race theory, and other things. Yeah, the Loudoun County, Virginia school district is at it again, believe it or not. This time they allowed comments in favor of both critical race theory and transgender bathroom use policies. In fact, they allowed those in favor to excoriate Christians as hate mongers. Yeah, then they went to a break. Then they called police. And when those against took the podium, and some cheered, guess what? They had the meeting stopped, and they had two of the people arrested. Yeah, this is a story from informationliberation.com as well as other places. I got it from Big Al, who tweeted out for Global Patriot Radio on the subject. Yeah, the richness of it being called an unlawful meeting after those in favor were allowed to speak is, you know, on the surface kind of humorous, maybe laughable. But I'll tell you what, go deeper, it becomes frightening. They literally allowed those in favor to berate those against, in addition to being allowed to speak in favor of the policies. But going to a break and then all but silencing those who are against such policies and then having them arrested, yeah, at a public forum for public schools, yeah, that's kind of chilling or frightening or haunting, whatever you want to call it. People, this is grim. It gets worse, though. The board cut off the microphone while State Senator Dick Black was speaking out against CRT and free-for-all bathroom use. The crowd cheered when he spoke out, and the board then, they said they'd warned against disruptions before the break, but the second people started cheering when Black spoke, they stopped the meeting. Hey, folks, by the way, you want to know when the disruption started? It started when the seventh speaker in support of the drafted policy, which is called 8040, when that speaker remarked that, quote, hate was, quote, dripping from the followers of Jesus in this room. Yeah, that might rile up some folks, huh? Can you imagine why people might speak out against that? So, yeah, Loudoun County, Virginia, in spite of the fact that a judge already told them that firing a teacher who spoke out against critical race theory and other stuff in a public forum, they were told that it was a wrongful termination. They had to reinstate him. So now, in their next meeting, they allow people to speak in favor of the policies, speak out against people that don't support the policies, and then conveniently stop the meeting and call in the police when it's time for those against the policies to speak. Yeah. Oh, here's some great news for Android users, including myself. It seems Google, working with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, surreptitiously installed at least one COVID-19 notification app on Android phones. A second app was also discovered, although it's not clear whether or not it was Google that installed it or whether it was installed surreptitiously. Android users, listen closely. To uninstall or to disable, do the following. Go to settings, choose Google, and then access COVID-19 exposure notifications. Now, on that one, just make sure it's off. I'm not sure you can uninstall it. I haven't tried yet. I've looked at it, but I haven't tried to actually do it. But I did make sure it's off. Another app is actually called Mass Notify, and I think Mass is for Massachusetts. But make sure whatever apps that show up are turned off. If you know how to uninstall the app, please do so. Maybe send me an email to that address, teen80@gmail.com, so I can make sure. I'm still trying to figure out how to uninstall it. But in the meantime, make sure it's at least off. Isn't that nice to know that Google is just installing apps on our phones without us knowing it? I'm not talking about the – because that one wasn't on there. I got my phone in 2019. That app wasn't on there at the time. It is now. I did not put it on there. Neither did other users, apparently. But they just installed it. And what's worrisome, of course, is whether it tracks you, whether it knows that you've been around people that have had COVID-19 or have been exposed or whatever. And here's the thing. My phone is not a Google phone. It's a Samsung phone. I'm sure none of you care about that. But I have a Samsung phone, but it uses Android. It's an Android operating system. I had iPhone years ago. One thing led to another. Things got all fouled up. Of course, I go into Apple. Humiliated by Apple, so I'll never have another Apple phone. That's just me, though. But yeah, on my Samsung Android phone is an app that I didn't install. It didn't come installed on my phone now, and I didn't install it. Mrs. Hank is asking, what's it called? Mrs. Hank doesn't have an Android phone. Mrs. Hank has an Apple phone. Oh, that's right. Apple, here's what we talk about, because we have Alexa in our house. She has Siri on her phone. Who knows what's happening on my phone? Yeah, but that's, now she's talking about our dog. Our dog does not tell people things. Yeah, our dog is not the son of Sam, or I'm not the son of Sam. Oh, yeah, she's talking about our dog being Alexa. Our dog is not Alexa, that's true. Meanwhile, fellow big tech outlet Twitter locked the account of a new site called National File over the weekend. The reason? For its post that a woman reported her 13-year-old nephew dying after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, Twitter admitted that suspending the account in error for 12 hours. Here's something amazing. When reporter Jack Hadfield celebrated Twitter's decision to reverse this suspension, Hadfield's Twitter account was suspended. Additionally, Twitter permanently suspended the account of former Bill Clinton campaign aide Naomi Wolf for, quote, sharing misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines. So, yeah, even having a D in your voter registration doesn't, pardon the phrase, immunize you from a Twitter banhammer. IndyHawk KB and Vito are in the chat room. IndyHawk points out that the backlash on critical race theory is building, most definitely. Governor DeSantis in Florida has not only outlawed critical race theory being taught, but he's actually said, we are now going to teach the evils of things like communism. Why should we be teaching people that the people have come here from other countries, that what they came here for was to get away from things like communism and other totalitarian regimes? Tell you what, the guy's got guts. Guts and a half, that's for sure. Jason Miller is a contributor to Newsmax. He was also a former senior advisor to President Trump. He says the latest attempt from Big Left to investigate Trump's former bodyguard in this case, it's simply another attempt to try and deny President Trump any chance to run in 2024. According to an article in the Wall Street Journal, the latest New York probe is investigating whether or not the former bodyguard, Matthew Calamari, not lying, that's his name, whether or not he received tax-free fringe benefits such as free cars and apartments from President Trump. Amid more lengthy comments comes this one: how can they allege that I obstructed justice if the original claim was fraudulent, or if I am exonerated of any such claim? Damn good question, actually. Damn good question. Seriously, if you are accused of something and then you're exonerated for it, how can you be guilty of obstructing justice? Then again, think about this. Comey, let's remember, he exonerated Hillary Rotten Clinton. Remember? He exonerated her.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Which technically, you know, I mean, that was obstruction in and of itself, wasn't it? So while it's a damn good question, technically speaking, Hillary Rodham Clinton was exonerated.
Bullshit.
Sorry, bad cough. Technically speaking. But, you know, would you say that Comey obstructed justice? Maybe in a way, you know? So I mean, it's a good question from President Trump. But in the case of Comey, it's also not Comey being accused. He's forgiving, or he's exonerating the accused without ever actually investigating anything or knowing that what had happened was wrong, but just ignoring it. A 9-year-old Minnesota girl called out her school principal and her school board over a BLM poster that hangs in the school. Here's a little bit of it from the Epic Times, just a snippet or two. Headlined, I was stunned. Minnesota girl speaks out against Black Lives Matter poster in classroom. It's really gone viral. So basically, they had had the school board had given an edict of no politics. And then she saw a BLM poster. She went to her principal and said, I'm mad. I was told 2 weeks ago at this place that there's no politics. And she then told them, I believed what you said. She told the principal it needs to come down. The principal said it's not coming down and told her that the school board were the ones who put the signs up there, authorized it. Now, she said, I was stunned. When I was here two weeks ago, you told us to report any BLM in our schools. Apparently, you know they are in our schools because you made the signs. Doesn't matter what color you make the posters and the fonts you use, we all understand the meaning. It is a political message about getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down while King Governor Waltz just sits on his throne and watches. Changing the colors of the fonts does not change the meaning. I am 9 years old and I know that. You expect me to believe that you did not know what you were doing by making these posters? Come on, people. She then said that she judges people by the way they treat her rather than race, but the school board encourages people to focus on the color of their skin. Now, look, she's gone viral on social media, and it's pretty obvious when you read it and you hear it, pretty obvious she was coached and probably reciting from a prepared speech. But, you know, then again, you know what? Some people in Big Left have actually said that. Guess what? She's no different than Greta Thunberg, who basically just parrots what she's told to say by climate Nazis. And we know that about Greta because when there was a Facebook glitch, I was able to see that she wasn't posting any of it. It was being posted by her father. He was the root of those posts. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, she's no different than Greta. Screaming, crying Greta. Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island. Turns out he's just he's a friggin' racist. That's all. He's a member of a members-only all-white beach club. It was also pointed out he was one that helped filibuster a black colleague's police reform bill. But, you know, when it's coupled with his usual virtual signaling, it just makes this hypocrisy all the more infuriating. It really does. He was asked by reporters about it. One asked, here are some of his responses. One, change takes time. Another one, we need to work our way through the issues. Really? Supposedly he's been a member since 2006. Takes 15 years to just strike out whites only. It takes 15 years for change to take place. Good God, they pull down statues in nothing flat. Not this time, though. In another bit of irony, some of his cronies took to Twitter to tell other folks, you can't celebrate Juneteenth if you're not speaking out in favor of CRT being taught in our schools. Mrs. Hank asked, critical race theory. This is critical race theory. Well, I was just saying, explaining it. Yeah, it's not cathode ray tube like we were taught about computers. But yeah, so if you don't speak out in favor of CRT being taught, you can't speak out and celebrate Juneteenth. I want to know the irony on the Juneteenth thing, by the way. I don't have a problem with Juneteenth. I don't. I really don't. Because that's when the last of the former slaves in this country were told that they were free. So not a problem with it. But it was already declared as a state in 47 states, literally. I swear. Let's get to some sports news. By God, if John Rahm didn't pull off a little vindication for his COVID mishap at the Memorial a couple weeks ago, huh? Yeah, he was leading Memorial, if you remember, by 6 strokes after round 3. Only to literally get pulled off the course after that round with a positive COVID test. So he had to withdraw, or he got DQ'd. I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. But then last weekend at Torrey Pines, he comes from 3 strokes back after 3 rounds. He goes 4 under 67 to win by a stroke over third-round co-leader Louis Oosthuizen. I never can figure out how to pronounce that. Louis Oosthuizen. Anyway, yeah, I'd say there may have been either a test follow-up or he had a very mild case of COVID. Just to be up by 6 on the day he rings a positive in the first place, you know. But then coming back 2 weekends later and taking his first major, yeah, I'd say it's been a hell of a month for John Rahm. I really wanted Phil Mickelson to get his first ever U.S. Open and get the career Grand Slam. Phil grew up playing Torrey Pines. Never liked what it was done to make the course open level. He didn't like it. But then in this time, after finishing 11 over, no less, he praised the hell out of the course and he praised the hell out of the tournament in general. Look, he's definitely a class guy all the way. Maybe it's just not meant to be for Phil to win a U.S. Open. Who knows? Vito and I were talking about this. Vito left the conversation. I'm not sure why, but anyway, Vito and I were talking about it. Vito says that, you know, usually the USGA is terrible with their course setups. He said this time they really did a good job. By the way, defending champ Bryson DeChambeau finished 9 strokes back. He was 3 over. He was never really in it. His arch nemesis, if you will, Brooks Koepka, finished 2 under, never really threatened, although he did get closer. They sniped at each other a little bit via media, social media, some photo bombs over the weekend. So they got that going for them, which is nice. It's a Caddyshack reference, golf movie. The NBA had its draft lottery last night. And I don't give a crap. Frankly, I care more about Powerball and Mega Millions and have more respect for the bureaucrats feeding at the public trough who run those things than I do for most of the players, coaches, owners, and especially the bureaucrats who run the NBA. If you don't know who won the draft lottery and actually want to know, I suggest go to ESPN.com, FoxSports.com, or some other sports.com. I'm not going to talk about the NBA too much. I'll talk about it a little, more than I'll talk about Major League Baseball. But interesting NFL story from former Iowa Hawkeye and current San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle about this weekend's tight end university. It's being put on by George Kittle, Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, and another former player, Greg Olson. Apparently, interest was very high, so they basically had to keep the invite list to a minimum, thus, you know, pretty much just starters and or high play count guys. So, of course, naturally, media wanted to know why Jacksonville Jaguars free agent, former quarterback turned tight end Tim Tebow didn't get an invite. Now, Kittle had a great answer, by the way. He said, that, look, the high interest, the limited resources, they're already spread thin, so that we really couldn't justify inviting a free agent who's never played a snap at tight end versus an 8- or 10-year-old guy who's really just on the cusp of a yay or nay for an invite. You know, isn't it amazing how the media just a few weeks ago didn't even want Tim Tebow in the league as opposed to, you know, Colin Kaepernick getting a chance. They wondered why Tebow was, you know, getting another chance after, quote, failing as a quarterback. Now they want to know why he didn't get an invite. I'll tell you what, this tells you how dumb sports media is in the grand scheme of things. Yes, most of them are well-spoken. They're reasonably literate. Some even have a decent sense of humor. But to say they have an inflated sense of their self-worth and their self-importance is a huge frigging understatement. They completely miss the point on this, of course, because in that same grand scheme of things, they aren't as worldly as they think they are. They really aren't. So I'll sum it up in a way that, you know, even the average New York, Chicago, Philly, Detroit, Cleveland, whatever street vendor understands. It goes like this. If this were the mafia, George Kittle would basically sit as the head of one of the five families or the Chicago outfit. No, maybe not a Carlo Gambino or a Tony Accardo, but a five families boss or a Chicago boss nonetheless. So when he schedules a sit down with the other families, he invites the other dons, the bosses. He maybe invites the underbosses or their consiglieres. He doesn't invite capos. He doesn't invite guys who were made just last month or last year. He doesn't invite associates or street-level drug dealers or loan sharks. Capiche? And not only that, when they had a commission meeting, they didn't ask for the New York Times who should be invited. Literally, the media was all over the fact that Tim Tebow shouldn't have been given a chance and that, you know, Colin Kaepernick should be given a chance first. But suddenly now they want to know why Tim Tebow wasn't invited to tight end university. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, Vito asked, did Tebow actually fail as a quarterback? No, not really. He wasn't, you know, he did get cut and he never got re-signed, but he wasn't cut because, I mean, he was cut because he was in Denver where they then had Peyton Manning or whatever. But, yeah, he didn't fail as a quarterback. There's some surprises at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials. They're taking place in Eugene, Oregon right now. On the women's side, sprint specialist, 200, 400-meter sprint specialist, Alex and Felix has qualified in the 400. She finished second in 50.02, just behind Quinera Hayes, who ran 49.78. Real question is, if she makes the 200 meters, which one will she run in Tokyo? And the other one, can she still be competitive on a world level? In the 100 meters, Shikari Richardson has continued her great season. She ran 10.86. She ran a 10.64 in the semis, but it was wind-aided. She's also run a 10.72 this season. She scratched from the 200 meters, though, which starts Thursday with the heats. She would be one of the favorites in Tokyo, no doubt, along with Jamaica's Shelly Ann Fraser-Pryce, who ran a 10.63 a couple of weeks ago. The finals field of all eight of the finalists have run under the Olympic standard. Thus, all of them can be used in the 4x100 relay. Now, people say, what does that mean? Well, that's huge, as you can then mix runners throughout the heats. You don't burn out somebody. Like if somebody's running the 100 and the 200, or, you know, you don't burn them out. You let others run through the heats. Then you can pick your best team for the finals. In the 100-meter hurdles, second-place finisher Kenai Harrison is qualified, but she's still appealing a 5-year doping ban. Burrito victim, remember I talked about last week, Shelby Houlihan, she was not allowed to compete because her doping ban is considered resolved. On the men's side, of course, Christian Coleman is banned, but 100-meter winner Trayvon Bramell ran 9.80. Ronnie Baker ran 9.85. And probably the big surprise is 400-meter specialist Fred Curley placed third. He made the team running 9.86. He will also compete for a spot in the 200, but not in the 400. That's been considered his specialty during his career. And Trayvon Bramell also scratched from the 200-meter heats, which begin on Friday. In the men's 400, Michael Norman, Michael Cherry, and Randolph Ross. Ross won the NCAA men's 400 for North Carolina A&T. They all ran under 45 flat. Norman won with a 44.07. Ross's North Carolina A&T teammate, Trevor Stewart, ran fourth. Will also run with the team as part of the 400x400 relay, along with all the other finalists. Again, very huge. In North Carolina, A&T won the 4x400 also at the NCAA meet, Ross and Stewart and two other teammates. But, yeah, that's big. When all eight guys run the qualifying standard, then they are all eligible to be used in the relay. So that's big. You know, because through the heats, then you're not wasting guys, you're not burning guys out. Big surprise came in the men's 800. Defending world champion and American record holder Donovan Brazier faded badly, finished last in the race. Winner Clayton Murphy and Isaiah Jewett both ran under 144. Murphy ran pretty fast, 143.17. Vito asked, did any women who identify as a man qualify? But no, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. In the shot put, defending Olympic champ and 2019 silver medalist Ryan Krauser broke Randy Barnes' world record of 75'10". He threw 76'8". This adds another world record for him, by the way. He threw 74'10.5" to set the indoor record earlier this year. Also of note, in the women's high jump, only one of the three on the team have reached Olympic qualifying standard. And in the women's discus throw, only two of the three have reached the standard. So some work to do. They took a break. Monday was the last day for a while, and then they took a break, and then they resume tomorrow. So track and field, aside from college football, track and field is my favorite sport. I ran track in high school. There is no more. Yes, the 100 is a marquee event. The metric mile, the 1500, is also a marquee event. There's nothing more exciting than the 4x400 relay, which closes a track meet. I went to watch the Illinois State meet 3 years in a row in high school. Really, it's just an awesome event, the 4x400. I saw some great races with those guys down there. Just a fun event to watch. Back to the NBA draft. Luka Garza from Iowa, he's predicted on most big boards to go in the second round. Guard forward Joe Wieskamp does not show up on any big boards. Although he has good numbers at the combine. He scores well in the vertical jump. He scores well in the three-quarter court sprint. He shoots well. He's got decent handles. He can get to the rim. But you know what? Like every other shooting guard and small forward in the NBA, so he's not really special there. Most Iowa media types don't see him pulling his name. They think he'll stay in the draft and they won't return to Iowa City. Should he? I don't know. I mean, that's really up to him. Would he benefit from another year in college? One in which he would not have Luka Garza relieving some pressure? Again, only he can decide that. other Big Ten players are showing up in the board. Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers of both of Michigan, and Io DeSumo of Illinois. So here's a sports story you don't see every day, especially in the sports section. Former Chicago Cub and current Tampa Bay Ray Ben Zobrist is suing for $6 million in punitive and compensatory damages. He accuses his former pastor of bilking his charity, as well as having an affair with his wife while they were undergoing marriage counseling. Ouch. The suit says that the pastor, Byron Yawn, continued to receive and cash checks from the charity, Patriot Forward, knowing that he had been terminated. He had urged Zobrist to tithe $10,000 a month to his Nashville church, urged him to make donations when requested by Yawn, and he paid a special gift to fund a pastoral trip for the Yawn family. Zobrist also says he forfeited $8 million in the 2019 season when he took time off for personal reasons. The affair evidently began in 2018, continued in secret into 2020 via the use of burner phones, which Yawn's wife then discovered. Yeah, this is going to be one of those stories you have to follow, i.e. it is the train wreck you cannot help but watch in its entirety. I mean, really, you just can't, you can't look away from that. Yeah, Indy Hawk KB says, you can change chromosomes. Trust the science. We're going to talk about that when I come back. I'm going to take a quick break. A couple minutes, you know, play you a song. And then we'll come back. We'll talk some poly sports. And we have, some couple good poly sports stories. So let's give you some Jeff Beck. Get yourself a glass of wine, a beer, whatever, some water. I'm going to have my iced coffee. Be back in a little over two, a little, or let's put it this way, a little under 3 minutes. Be right back, folks. Enjoy. and that is the always on target Jeff Beck. Love it. Favorite guitarist. Okay. We are back. I'm Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports. Number to call in if you want to talk, and next couple things might generate some talk. I hope so. That number is 319-527-6706. Let's get to some poly sports. So we've had a couple decisions come down from the Supreme Court. This one is particularly a poly sports one. Supreme Court unanimously sided with former college players in a dispute with the NCAA about compensation. Now, basically what they did, they unanimously affirmed a ruling this past Monday that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated. Pretty much opens the door for future legal challenges that, you know, would pretty much crunch the NCAA's current business model, let's put it that way. Justice Gorsuch wrote the court's opinion and upheld a district court judge's decision that the NCAA basically violated antitrust law by placing limits on education-related benefits that schools can provide to athletes. Basically, what it does is it allows schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it is connected in whatever way to their education. Now, Kavanaugh also wrote a separate opinion basically saying, you know, the NCAA is not above the law. Now, already, if you go on, it doesn't matter, Twitter, go on Hawkeye Report, HawkeyeNation.com, any of those, to those forums, people are talking out there, you know what. Basically, what this does, it eliminates caps or limits on education-related compensation. It is not about name, image, and likeness, although people are tweeting about that. It is not about paying players compensation, although, again, people are tweeting about that. What it is about is NCAA control, and it does pave the way, no doubt. It does pave the way for athletes to get paid. No doubt. I mean, because the way they ruled on this, it certainly does. It certainly opens that door, I think. But in plain, easy terms, this says that education-related benefits cannot be capped. What it does not say is where education-related benefits end and miscellaneous benefits begin. That would have been a good start. Now, again, that may not have been a part of the original suit. So, at this point, our Supreme Court is still ruling on law, not making law. But other judges are doing that, but Supreme Court, thus far, it hasn't really done that. Now, as an example, a student athlete needing a laptop passes an education-related benefit. Okay, sure. What about the kid who says he needs a car to go across town for an internship, or hell, even for practice? In real life, practical terms, it would be easy, no doubt, to argue that public transportation is readily available and most college campuses have free bus services. Hell, when I was at Iowa, half the people riding the damn CAM bus were civilians, i.e., you know, locals, townies, whatever. They weren't students. But to take it a step further, does a school need to provide funding for public transportation if their free school transportation isn't adequate? I mean, where this can go, in other words, you know, we're going to see interpretations on quote-unquote education-related benefits that might shock a few folks down the road. I mean, Indy Hawk KB said in the chat room, you can change the chromosomes, trust the science. You know, are we going to have an athlete who suddenly identifies as a female and the school should kick in for that surgery? I don't know. I mean, that's reaching, obviously. But education-related benefit, that's where the interpretation of that is where it's going to get really iffy in the future, no doubt. Now, this is the first time that Supreme Court has weighed in on college sports since 1985. That's back when they ruled in the NCAA versus Board of Regents of Oklahoma. The NCAA, they ruled that the NCAA was illegally restricting the earnings potential of individual schools by placing limits on the number of times a school team could appear on TV in a season. And guess what? Now we have teams getting everything televised on conference-affiliated networks. We have schools that have their own networks, like Texas, like BYU. Of note in that 1985 case, by the way, was an opinion expressed by Justice John Paul Stevens, who said that the NCAA should have, quote, ample latitude, unquote, to make rules that it feels are best suited to preserve amateurism and the educational benefits that come with it. Now, as I said in another concurring opinion from Justice Kavanaugh, he said the NCAA 1 is not above the law and that it uses innocuous labels to prevent compensation of athletes and that the NCAA's business model would not stand scrutiny in any other industry. I'm not sure you can say he's 100% right on that. I mean, you know, it's a scholarship. People say, well, it generates revenue. Yeah, so does the music program. It doesn't generate the same kind of revenue, but, when people give concerts at colleges and put on plays, people pay to go watch that. I mean, I used to go to plays and movies and concerts at University of Iowa, and I had to pay to get in. Might have paid a student rate, but I still had to pay to get in. The public is invited to those things. Now, the fact that football and basketball generates a lot more revenue than those things, that I'm not sure that you can hold football and basketball accountable for that. But really, what does this mean? Will it level the playing field? And frankly, is that even the point? I mean, are we seeing the gradual erosion of college sports? I mean, will some schools get left behind with all this? And of course, you know, with Title IX always lurking in the background, are we going to see the inevitable, i.e. more sports getting cut at certain schools, especially in schools where the football and basketball programs are the overwhelming funding source to begin with? Maybe. I mean, really, that's very possible. I don't know, though. It's a curious thing. You know, the justices ruled in 1985 that the NCAA was illegally restricting schools. And now you have these deals like Big Ten Network, SEC Network. Those clearly have made a huge difference. Been a game changer, no doubt. I mean, ESPN and Fox Sports and others have paid huge, broadcast rights to conferences. Now, I don't think this is going to change that in any way, but if they push toward revenue sharing or just athlete compensation, again, how's that going to work? Because schools are simply not equipped the way pro leagues are to slotting salaries and imposing salary caps. And I just don't see it, at least not yet. Let's move on. New Zealand weightlifter Laurel Hubbard is competing in the Tokyo Olympics as a woman. A woman who, by the way, competed as a man as recently as 2011. Now, what makes this all the more interesting is that everything prior to her 2012 transition, including her birth name, is now gone from her Wikipedia page. Now, I've talked about this subject ad nauseum, but I'll do it again. This is wrong. Now, Hubbard is competing at the highest weight level for females. It doesn't matter. Hubbard is essentially a male when it comes to athletics. The levels of hormones vary from sport to sport, and even within some sports. There's no concrete dividing line. Bone density and muscle mass and overall strength are male. Sure, Hubbard identifies as a female. Hubbard is also 43 years old. No male could compete at 43 as a male. I mean, some, but no. Transitioning 10 years ago pretty much tells us that Hubbard couldn't compete successfully as a male. They also talk about once a male has gone through male puberty, that, you know, yeah, you can do everything hormonally and surgically, but the differences are there forever. Bone density, et cetera. Now, it kind of reinforces what Steve Dace said on this show almost 2 years ago. This isn't rights, equality, or equitable competition. It's a mental disease. Think about this. Someone transitioning at that age has enough stuff, if you will, going on. I mean, emotionally, psychologically. You would think that competing in weightlifting would be about the last thing in terms of a literal life-changing adjustment. Here's something else. Hubbard's family owns Hubbard Foods, or did. And her father was the mayor of Auckland for several years. Hubbard Foods is a huge conglomerate. You might compare them to like Kellogg's or CW Post, i.e. primarily breakfast cereal and breakfast food producers. In other words, power and money. They sold the company to other billionaires in 2018. In 2019, Hubbard was found at fault in a car accident that left the other driver with severe spinal injuries. Now, she paid reparations, but a judge ordered her name withheld in order to protect her, or it, from distressing publicity. Really? It took a media outlet filing a suit to get that overturned, by the way. But still, money and power and what it will buy in influence. In other words, folks, Laurel Hubbard isn't some wounded, misguided, poor soul that was trapped in a man's body. Laurel Hubbard was a spoiled brat who couldn't compete against other males on the world stage. And when it's a transgender who went through male puberty, lopping it off and giving hormones to the resultant quote-unquote female doesn't make it an even playing field. And again, as I've noted many times, if this was really about being trapped or about identity, why don't we see female-to-male transgender athletes? I'll answer that, because they would never be successful in competition. In short, to reiterate what Steve Dace said, it's a damn mental disease. This isn't equality or justice or competitive fire or being trapped in the wrong body. It is a sickness. It's a frigging sickness. I do got to leave y'all with this, though. Oh, the irony. And I mean, oh, the irony. One thing that is still available on Laurel Hubbard's previous history on her wiki page seems to have not been erased. We know the name of her father. Irony of ironies. Laurel Hubbard's father is Dick Hubbard. You cannot make that up, man. You can't. I just don't know where else to go with that one, folks. It's just Laurel Hubbard becomes a female, but her dad's name is Dick. I know it's terrible. I have a brother-in-law by that name, but just as I'm reading through it, I just couldn't help it. More in polysports. Former Penn State Nittany Lion and current Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib has come out as openly gay. Now, he's being called the first active NFLer to do so. I guess Michael Sam doesn't count because he didn't actually make an NFL roster for a regular season. In fact, Michael Sam came out as openly gay while still in college at the University of Missouri. Here's the thing. Michael Sam is black. Carl Nassib is white. Carl Nassib is getting the credit. Look, I have no problem with Carl Nassib. He's donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. It's dedicated to crisis intervention and suicide prevention among LGBTQ plus youth. Yes, I know. It sounds like the youth in that culture, they do experience significant crises sometimes. And yes, there is a higher incidence of suicide in that community. Look, you don't have to agree with the lifestyle, but look, suicide's a horrific event. My pastor, where I grew up, their family had a trans member of the family who committed suicide. It's not funny. It's not karma. It's not on any level Christian or godly to say that it is. Suicide's awful. One of my best friends did that, and it haunts me still almost 20 years later. So, no, kudos to Carl Nassib for coming out if he felt it was right, and kudos for contributing to a community where there's a need. But come on, big media. Don't drop Michael Sam from history. The fact he didn't stick on an NFL roster was as much the fault of his college coaches as it was any of his own shortcomings on the field. He played defensive end in college, but really he was just an outside linebacker who lined up with his hand on the ground. That's all it really was. Some guys have made that transition. Iowa's own Andre Tippett, prime example, came out of Iowa as an All-American defensive end, and then he became a Hall of Fame outside linebacker with the New England Patriots. It's not always an easy thing to make that move. For instance, Andre Tippett, as did many defensive ends in a 5-2 defensive scheme, he often dropped into pass coverage. Michael Sam was a rush end at Missouri. He was always rushing, so he didn't drop back. So right there you see the advantage Tippett had over Sam in that scenario, especially when it comes to playing outside linebacker in a 4-3 or a 3-4. Anyway, big media somehow figures out a way to make the latest coming out announcement a history maker. Except this time it really wasn't a history maker. It simply wasn't. So yeah, shame on you, big media. Yeah, even your fawning and your salivating LGBTQ plus football players, you suck at it. Even that you suck at. I mean, you're making it sound, I mean, you literally saw no mention of Michael Sam's name in any of this story stuff. And I'm sorry, Michael Sam, being gay and black, had a lot tougher time probably. Indy Hawk KB points out, Tippett, 99, great Hawk, number 99. Yes, he was. All-American. Now, let's get into some social media stuff. Pick of the day is one Steve Dace had on posted on Facebook. It's a picture of Fauci in a lifeguard uniform emblazoned with the Chinese flag. Yikes. Post of the day, a friend of mine, named Ted, lives in Hawaii. He's quoting Lisa Booth. Here's what the post said. White House is a member of a whites-only beach club. The governor of Virginia wore blackface and a KKK robe, and Joe Biden said he didn't want his kids to grow up in a racial jungle. But yet we want Democrats to lecture about racism in America. Let that sink in. Seriously, let that sink in. I mean, it's continual. And yet, conservatives, Republicans, whatever, the right, however you want to classify, are always the racists and always the bigots. But yet, Justin Trudeau, blackface. Ralph Northam, and I think their lieutenant governor too at one time, blackface at a party. Ralph Northam also in a KKK robe. Biden, they're just the racial jungle is just the least of it. I mean, Hunter Biden with his N-word comments. It's mind-boggling how media doesn't even try, to tell the truth on that. Really is. Some other little news of note. Supreme Court, did, like I said, made other decisions this week. One, they struck down a California regulation that allowed union organizers to access agricultural farm workers on private property. They ruled that it violated the 5th and 14th Amendment. Now, this was a 1975 regulation that required agricultural employers to allow union organizers onto their property to talk to the workers. Court voted 6-3. And the left, of course, beside themselves. But, hey, Supreme Court occasionally gets stuff right, you know. They did not allow the Obamacare lawsuit to proceed last week, but whatever. Not everything is going to go the way it should. You know, the CDC is finding more cases of heart inflammation in vaccinated young males. 153 Houston hospital workers quit or get fired for refusing the mandate. Here's one that the left really doesn't like. The Pennsylvania House has passed an election integrity bill. So the left is not liking that. So, you know, Indy Hawk pointed out that critical race theory is running up against some backlash. Same thing here. Hey, you know what? Dave, I'm going to debut a new song. I'm going to debut a new song for our caller that's on the line.
Dedicating the song to Let Belly.
Whoa, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb. She from Birmingham, Bamba Lamb. Way down in Alabama, Bamba Lamb. The way she shake that thing, Bamba Lamb. Boy, she make me sing, Bamba Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb. She really get me high, Bamba Lamb. You know that's no lie, Bamba Lamb. She's so rock steady, Bamba Lamb. But she's always ready, Bamba Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty. Bamba Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bamba Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bamba Lamb, whoa, Black Betty. Bamba Lamb.
Brother Tommy, Vito uploaded it for you. You got your song, Black Betty by Tom Jones.
That's the main reason I called in, just to see if you were being legit when you said Vito did it. Vito did do it. Props to Vito. God bless him. That other one you did made me sound like half a fag, and I don't mean that from a sexual standpoint, fag, but it made me sound like a fairy. This one makes me sound cool as shit. I love it. All right, real quick, that's the main reason I called in, but I just got to amplify what you were saying about the media real quick. Remember it. Now, they're all about our age, give or take 10 years. Now, everyone that's our age, give or take 10 years, anywhere from 46 to 56, remember the people that were in journalism in high school and even college and stuff. They were attacked at all levels. The docs made fun of them. The freaks made fun of them. And that's why they've got an angst. And that's why they do the stuff, like you said, they have absolutely no shame and stuff. That's why they do it. It's their modern-day version of payback. I'm getting back at all the guys that used to make fun of me, and that's why they do it. And I think we don't – I think we sometimes overcomplicate it. Why the media is where they are, Don Lemon, Cuomo, that Schmidt guy. I've talked about it before on the show. They sit around and giggle when they talk about Donald Trump. They don't laugh. They giggle. And it's because they were the ones that were beat up or made fun of in high school, and it's their form of payback. That's my two cents vis-a-vis the present-day media. They're ridiculous. And I'm stunned that people overcomplicate it. People always say, why? Because it's their payback. That's my only two cents. My only two cents was obviously listening to my song.
But that's an excellent point. You know, now, you know, we went to the same high school, obviously. There were those, I know what you're saying. There were some that were not, but for the most part, you're right. They were the ones that were, you know, picked on.
In my journalism class, the ones above me, the ones below me, they all had an angst. And the reason they had the angst is they didn't get invited to the party. That, like I said, both jocks and freaks alike made fun of them. And they wishy-washy people. That's why I disagree with the freaking caller in and guest host sometimes, Hawkeye Mike. That's the way our society is right now. He says we're going to take it back in 2022. No, we're not. And we're not going to get 2024 either, because that's the way people are. And the other thing that you had pointed out is they go for the low-hanging fruit, and they do it before the Republicans do. In other words, you're a racist if you don't think this way. Guess what it does? It scares the sheep. And the sheep say, oh, yes, let's have critical race theory and all of that. Short of saying that, that makes me a racist. And that's the bottom line. People are sheep, unfortunately, and I don't know. And I think the media, if you talk about the fourth whale.
Yeah. No, it's an excellent point. But you know, here's a funny thing. You mentioned Don Lemon. Did you notice there was a, you're not on Facebook right now, I get it, but there's a meme that's kind of going around, you know, for all these people that talk about critical race theory and critical this and critical that. Don Lemon, Kamala Harris, a bunch of others, married to white people. If with all this systemic racism, why are these people all married to white people?
They,
you know, I mean,
This is a difficult concept to grasp, but if you really analyze the words and if you really analyze the definition of racism, they are the biggest racists in the world. When you equate everything to the color of your skin, that is by definition racism. Now, they pan it off as social injustice, which is bullshit. Cat Tibbs on Greg Gutfeld's show last night had a beautiful point. She's like, okay, I'm responsible for 5 generations ago slavery. Okay, does that mean I get credit for what Albert Einstein did? He's white. I'm white. You know, so it's always the blame. It's always the victimology. And it's just bullshit. And that's why, like you said, I don't do Facebook anymore and stuff, and because it's just bullshit. But they're always a step ahead. What's the victim of the day? Well, it used to be global warming. That lost its legs. So now it's critical race theory. Oh, if you don't agree with us, by definition, you're a bigot. And that's what they also do. They take definitions and they change them. And that, to me, is what's so disheartening. They reinvent words, they reinvent definitions to words. And it's sick, and it's gross. And I told you before, I won't call up and do political shit, but you know me. I lose my way, and I get so fucking mad. And that thing you were doing about the New Zealand weightlifter and stuff, Dace is right, or I know I don't pronounce his name right.
No,
but I know who you're talking
about.
Dace.
Yeah, it's Dace. It's Dace.
Yeah, okay. I always say Dace because it's spelled D-E-A-C-E.
Yeah, exactly. But
he's right.
Dace.
It's sick. It's sick. Yeah. And you were talking about the name Dick. I had something for that too. I had something for that. Oh, shit, was a couple too many beers today, but. It's just the hypocrisy with all of that shit is, and that's where I don't even go down the road. Like I said, I just wanted to hear Black Betty.
Well, you know, but I mean that New Zealand weightlifter thing is the worst to me. I mean, literally 43 years old. If it were still a guy, it wouldn't need to be competing. It's literally. I mean, just the fact that wanting to compete at age 43, but as a female.
Jeselnik does a good comedic bend on to it. What it is it's just someone's way of saying they're not fighting for social justice. What they're doing is saying, look at me. Don't forget about me. Hey, I'm still relevant. Yeah, daddy was a billionaire, and, you know, he's probably got – I know they always associate it with women. He's probably got daddy issues. But it's like, hey, don't forget about me. I'm making a stand. And it's just, it's a combination of hubris, vanity. That's why I listen to those stories. And I literally click it off. I'm like, this is just so ridiculous. But people buy into it. People are like, what a victim? Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. Come on. It's like saying, I want brown eyes. Sorry, you were born with blue eyes. Deal with it. And But everyone, what are we doing? We look for quick fixes for everything. Hey, guilty as charged myself. So I put myself in the category.
Victim, but the victim, you're right. The victim of the day is the is sadly the. That's how the media. I mean, it's, you know, the other thing about media that people talk about. You know, you've seen people that leave major news organizations because, as they say, we don't report news anymore. Our news is someone else's tragedy. You know, why do we lead
the
with...
The only one I know is Brett Baer that reports the news. I know of no one else.
Yeah.
And I've looked all over. And the Fox ones are at least honest in the sense that they say they're doing commentary. Brett Baer's the only one I see. CNN's a joke. MSNBC's an absolute joke. But, yeah, short of Brett Baer, I don't even, like I said before, I don't even care about the news anymore. It's so disgusting the way it's portrayed and stuff. And that was last night. That was part of Gutfeld's 15-minute, you know, thing. Was now, why are we even, I understand we have to, but why are we even discussing a transgender Olympic wannabe?
Yeah.
That's how much the drip, drip, drip has eroded our society and stuff. It shouldn't get and Gutfeld always says it, but then he always does it, contradicts himself. He says, why are we even discussing this? And then he spends 15 minutes discussing it. So there's hypocrisy on both sides. But to me, it's just such a non – I don't get it. But I get it. I understand what it is. It's like I've said before, Orwellian. It's 1984. It's what's right, we're going to make wrong. What's wrong, we're going to make right. And as long as we're in the vanguard movement, people will follow us. That's the whole Democrat motto as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think I have to apologize on your show that I'm very lean, very conservative, or libertarian at least. But that's what it is.
I think you really nailed it on the, you know, a lot of the people that were, especially the high school journalism students were, they were bike rack.
I'm sorry, I don't mean this meanly. Nerds do serve a function. Hell, they're the ones that invent the robot or the robots and the rockets and all of that. Don't get me wrong. But they are the ones that they carry it. They harbor it. It's like, oh, it's going to be payback time sometime. And then you get a fucker, excuse my language, a freaker like Don Lemon, Cuomo or whatever, and it's payback time. You know why the Anthony Wieners, who was a very, very powerful person in his heyday, you know why they do – snapshots or whatever you call it of their crank, because they have absolutely no idea how sexual relations go. They watch the porno movies because they never had a date in high school, and so they think, oh, I watched this porno movie, this chick wants to see my crank. And so he takes a picture of it, and it's just disgusting. But that is indicative of what they are. They know no better, they were always beat up, and it's payback time. That's the gist of the whole thing, and unfortunately, but it's true. That's true. I'm not saying anything. I didn't say
but,
Frank is not a swear word. I could have been referring to one of his things that he used to elevate his car. I did not swear, and I know that we don't need reminders of Wiener's crank. Excuse the redundancy here, Wiener's crank. But you talk about the name Dick, Wiener's crank. How about that one? All right. We don't need that, but I'm telling you, that's why they do it. They have absolutely no clue. In other words, they're socially maladjusted. How's that?
Yeah.
We'll put it in clinical
psychological
terms.
I would say anybody who takes a picture of it and then sends it to anyone, that's a definite socially maladjusted.
I would have to – what do you call that where you doctor it up and stuff? I would have to add like 6 inches. I would be terrified to send someone a picture of my crank, even if it were big, because I know women, normal women. They're like, what the hell are you doing? Just like if a woman sent me a picture of her genitalia, I would be like, what freak show did I enter? I would just like be dismissed or whatever you push to make it so that person can never contact you again. But that's what they are. They were beat the shit out of in high school, and they have absolutely, I mean, they have social graces, and as far as the cocktail party, as long as they drop out, you know, cute phrases like global warming and critical race theory, that's how they become popular at the cocktail parties. But I'll tell you what, the women do not go home with them, because the women know, as fucking hypocritical as they are, this guy's got no game. This guy's going to blow a load before his zipper's even down. Trust me on that one. All right, I took it a little bit too racy, but I did not swear. Blow a load. That could be construed as something else.
I know you didn't swear. That's true. That is true. So, well, excellent, excellent points. Excellent, excellent points. No doubt about it. I mean, you
I just
want
to leave it
the...
with the little hangsters. Leave it with the little hangsters. Don't be afraid to say the terminology. Blow a load. There's no swearing there.
I know there's not, but you know. Well, anyway, I gotta get back to the show, but I'll exit you off with your theme song again. So.
And thank you so much for that, and please send out Prop to Vito about that. Thank you for putting that song on.
Yeah, he knows.
I don't sound like
a
fairy anymore.
Right. Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Later. Oh, incidentally.
Playing his exit song, Black Betty. Tom Jones' version of Black Betty.
This is TJ, dedicated the song to Black Betty.
Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lam. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lam. She from Birmingham, Bama Lam, way down in Alabama. Bama Lam, the way she shake that thing. Shake Bama Lam, boy, she make me sing. Bama Lam, whoa, Black Betty.
Now, I thought that song's first lyrics went, Black Betty had a child, wham-a-lam, the damn thing gone wild. But this one, he changed it. So, anyway, that's Brother Tommy coming in on the Black Betty theme by Tom Jones. He nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. I mean, I give credit where it's due, and he nailed it on two counts. One, journalists, the high school journalists that tried to wear hats like call me Scoop. Yeah, they did. They got beat up a lot in high school. They did, or not beat up, but they got made fun of. No two ways about it. That's it. There's a bit of a personal revenge there in their attitude. I'm getting that. I'm really thinking that. I'm getting it. And the other thing he pointed out, the lady on Gutfeld's show last night, Kat Tibbs, I think he said, yeah, is that her name, Kat Tibbs? But talking about the fact that if I'm responsible for five generations ago of slavery, am I also getting credit for what Einstein did as a white person? Excellent, excellent points. And again, though, in the end, it's because we, the people, let it happen. We let them make laws that are abusive and intrusive. We let them control the narrative in the media. Now, look, you have people, you have the Epic Times as an example. You have Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoft, who is not going to let up. You know, Jim's been, you know, he lost his Twitter account. He's banned on Twitter. He had lost a lot of Facebook traffic, but you know what? Go to Facebook now and look for Gateway Pundit. He's back. He's doing Instagram. They're doing all kinds of Instagram posts. He's doing Facebook Live stuff. He's not giving up. Jim Hoff's proof that, you know what? Don't give up. You gotta push through. You know, when he was on the show and he talked about the evil that's happening, well, guess what? You don't combat evil by just complaining. You get the word out. You tell people. You bring other people on board. You find the people that have the common ground. That's how it works. That's how we will be successful. Okay. We've pretty much come up on the finale. Brother Tommy brought it home with that excellent, excellent diatribe, if you will. As Indy Hawk says, Tommy delivers again. Vito, yes, he does. The victimization. You know, we're looking for the latest victim, all of it. So let's think about that. Let's not let the victim card be played for laughs. Let's not let lies be told without combating them. Fight back. Tell the truth. You know, don't let people guilt you into things. That's what it's going to take. Now, Hawkeye Mike did text and say, Brother Tommy's wrong. We will take back the House and Senate in 2022, and we will take back the White House in 2024. I prefer to agree with Mike on this one, but Brother Tommy has a point. If we just sit around and wait, that's what will happen. It will go that way. Hey, folks, it's been fun. Been fun bringing you this stuff. You know, keep an eye on what's happening with the Olympics. You know, I think there are some people that are going to speak out about this, not just us. There are some athletes that have already spoken out. Hold your leaders accountable. Hold your school board accountable. Good Lord. That they can even think that they can get away with this stuff. Not just the critical race theory, the BLM posters. Hold them accountable. If you are the type that says, I would love to hold public office, but I can't afford to run for Senate, I get it. Who can? Whoa. Alarm going off. It's just our egg boiler, hard-boiled egg maker, whatever, in the house. Anyway, folks, have a good week. Stay safe. Be vigilant. Don't put up with the crap. And remember, it's about truth. And look, I want to thank everyone for being here. Indie Hawk and Vito in the chat room. Brother Tommy, Big Sister, Hawkeye Mike, T. Bodie, Sue from New Mexico. And by the way, if you get on Twitter, look for Sue from New Mexico. Great stuff. I want to thank Mrs. Hank for being here, of course, taking my iced coffee away so I didn't knock the glass over. All that counts. Have a great week, folks. Have a great week, folks. Be safe. Be here next week, 5:30. More Poly Sports. Again, I am Hank Jones. You've been listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports on Global Patriot Radio. Good night. God bless. Have a fun-filled rest of your week. Good night, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.